comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United.
Hello, welcome to a brand new Nerds United here on YouTube. And I know what you're thinking. These guys aren't live. You are right. Just didn't work out scheduling-wise this week, but we're excited to bring you a new show nonetheless. I'm your host, Greg Mahochko, and my co-host of the year and my tremendous friend, he's this guy right here. You know him as Jonathan Saina. I know him as Mike Luther. Hello, Mike.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going well.
I was gonna say you're just like me, surviving in some places and thriving in others.
Bingo.
Yes indeed. Yes indeed.
Now let's talk. Obviously, we didn't do a show last week, but that's because you had plans. Like you actually went out into the real world and did stuff.
I did.
Tell us about that.
I had a friend of mine who said, "Hey, I have tickets to this concert. Do you want to come?" And I said, "Sure." And so we went to the concert.
What is the concert? What?
So it was at the pageant, and it was
pageant.
The Wonder Years and the Menzingers. They were co-headlining, and they had one opening band.
Can I ask a question?
Sure thing.
Who are those bands?
Okay, so
they don't sound familiar at all.
No, here's the thing. So the Menzingers, I don't know how to describe them. Rockish, little punk rock, I would say.
Okay.
The Wonder Years is probably maybe a little more hard. I don't want to say hardcore punk, but it's like pop punk with like maybe hardcore rock influences.
Okay.
And then they had opening band was Liquid Mike, who I'd never heard of before, but they were pretty good.
Liquid Mike.
Liquid Mike.
Okay.
They are kind of indie rock with pop punk influences, I would say.
Okay.
It's hard to describe music. Liquid Mike, actually, I was kind of really impressed by them. And I went on Spotify and listened to some of their music, and it's pretty catchy. It's on my playlist now.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. I'll tell you the differences between this concert and other concerts I've been to in the past. Okay. Because I used to go to concerts a lot.
Right.
Definitely in the teen years and stuff. And even in the early 20s. Last time I went to a concert was probably when I was like 32, and it was
a decade ago.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is odd. And I believe it was probably Newfound Glory with my cousin Corey. And okay. So I huge fan of Newfound Glory. So I know all their music and stuff like that. I was probably a little bit too old to get in the pit, but I went in the pit anyway. And I knew, I was like, this is going to be one of the last times I'm going to be able to do this. You know? I just got to. Because I was still, right. I was skinnier. The bones weren't as brittle, you know. And so the last concert, like I said, I know the music. I know the band. Even though the opening bands, like, I knew because I had found out who they were and listened to some of their music and stuff. And so you're in the pits, you're sweaty, you know, and, you know, you're singing along and everything. And it's great. It's just an adrenaline rush. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So fast forward to this concert. So I know of the Wonder Years and I know of the Menzingers. Out of those two bands, I probably knew maybe five songs that they played, and they only played four of the five songs I knew. And we're obviously so I went with my friend Bald, and we're both same age and we're both not in good shape. We're not pit no. ready, you know. We're not pit ready. And so we sat off on the side because there's a pit in the middle, and then it's just, you know, chairs around and stuff like that. So you just sit down. He drank, I drank water because I drove. And it was so good. Like I said, I enjoyed it, but it was just a different experience because I'm sitting on the side, and like I don't know what concerts you've been to and stuff, but like music you like, but like, you know how some bands, like if you know, like they'll play a certain guitar riff, you're like, oh my gosh, they're going to play the old one. You know, like you just get that. I had nothing like that. It was just like, they'd be like, I think you guys remember this one. I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember it. And you, so it was just, you know, that. Yeah, it was just it like I said, it was a good experience. The people working there were really nice, because when I went up to get a water, I was like, "Can I just get a water?" And she's like, "Yeah, do you want I think she said like tap or bottle?" I was like, "Whatever." She's like, "Well, bottle's sturdier, but the tap is free." I go, "I'll go for tap, I guess." So she just got it out of the gun. And she's like, "By the way," she's like, "just so you know, if you ever want more water and the bar is busy, just," she's like, "there's fountains at on like different places and stuff like that." I was like, "Oh, well," you know. So yeah. But yeah, it was the music was good, you know. Like I said, not knowing a lot of it. It was also funny because, first of all, the crowd was also about, except for the people in the pit, I guess, I don't really know. It was about our age people. Like, I want to say late 20s to early 40s, probably the crowd. But going from opening band to the headliner, it progressively got older. And you can tell because the guts got bigger and the hair receded further back.
That's perfect.
Like, Liquid Mike, they were probably in their 20s. And you could tell, you know. And then the guys for the Wonder Years, I'm guessing probably early 30s. You know, when you got to get that little bit of a gut and stuff like that, you know?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, a little bit of a gut. No, I still have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. And then the men's ingers, it was guts, and it was just, it was basically like I was on stage, you know, playing
guts music. And glory.
Guts and glory, yeah. So, but yeah, no, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I'd say, like, I would like to go to more concerts, but it's also like, I almost like, it was good for me that I was didn't get the bit because I didn't know the songs and stuff like that. But it's going to be hard if I go to, like, I don't know, Newfound Glory or some concert like that where, like, I know the music and I want to, like, really experience it, to have to sit on the side. So, but, you know, that's life. I've been in plenty of pits. So
I think we talked at the beginning of the summer about how I went down to Heron Fest to see Revis, mm-hmm. You know, my friend's band. That was like right around, I think it was right after Memorial or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had an opening act. Of course, they're the local band. They also made it big 20 years ago, and they were the headliner, you know. And when we're talking, we're like, yeah, concert starts at like 7:30. You're like, we better do dinner at like 5. He's like, we got plenty of time. I'm like, what do you mean? He wasn't at dinner because he was prepping for the show, the lead singer. But we saw him before the show started. I'm like, yeah, aren't you supposed to be like going on stage soon? He's like, yeah, we're not going on till like 9. And I was like, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm ready to be in bed. Yeah, like, we started recording 15 minutes ago, and it's, you know, 10 o'clock now. But
yeah,
you know.
No, you're right, because like this concert, yeah, it started at 7:30, and I want to say we left 10:30, 11. It had to be around 11. I can't remember, but yeah.
I remember the days of going to like Point Fest, for example, where it's like a Sunday, and you get there at 11 in the morning, and you're there at 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But that was, I think the last one I went to, honestly, was like 07, latter half of 07.
Yeah.
So that was,
yeah, those are the young days. We don't have those.
I was 25.
Okay. Would you rather be 25 right now? At 25, I can go to concerts.
Right.
I'm in the pit at 25.
I wouldn't say I was in the pit, but I was definitely like, you know, I could stand up all day without my feet hurting.
True. Okay. By the way, I should clarify something when I say the pit, obviously mosh pit, but there's different types of mosh pits.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm not talking about like the heavy metal or like hardcore
run full speed at people and punch. Bruised and bloodied. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't do those. I can't do those.
It's more like, you know, a fun shoulder. And
yes.
Yeah.
Shoulder to shoulder bouncing around, you know, singing. If someone falls, you try to pick them up. You know,
right. Nobody's here to get trampled upon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's your mess, man. I'm glad you had a good time. Yeah, and good. I certainly missed you. But, you know, and you know this for the viewers. Like, we could have done the show on Saturday night last week, but I was like, I'm just not feeling it. So I missed you, but not enough to do a show.
Hey, I understand. I get it. No worries.
But we are here. We've got some fun stuff to talk about because we have essentially 2 weeks worth of news. Now, we're not going to cover everything that happened in the last 2 weeks because we don't have that kind of time or that kind of energy, or I think those are the two main ones. Yeah. Yeah, but we got some fun things to talk about. Now, we always start the show, Mike, with, have you read or purchased any new comic books?
Surprisingly, yes. I did have time to read a comic book.
One single issue of comic book.
One issue. No, I looked through the ones you gave me, and this one, because I was like, I don't know how much time I have between class, which is only like a week or whatever. But I managed to get some more time in. But I read Uncle Sam.
Oh.
By Steve Darnell and Alex Ross. And I will tell you, first of all, obviously, Alex Ross, we talk about him all the time. So the artwork is just amazing in it.
Right.
If you see some artwork, I don't know if you can really see that. But if you like history and if you like an old man hallucinating, you'll probably read this whole thing.
Yeah. No, I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting tale. It's, you know. It really is. It's who you would picture as Uncle Sam, but he starts off as kind of a crazy old man, and then he's walking. I don't know if he's saying hallucinating or if he's actually going to these places in history, and then kind of going back and forth and figuring stuff out. And so there's a lot of stuff from history in there. So.
Speaking of Alex Ross, I know a few weeks back we talked about the Kickstarter campaign for The Legend of Kingdom Come.
Yes.
And I told you that I ended up just kind of on a whim being a backer on that.
Right.
And it had 6 days left to be a backer. I think I told you at the time they had a $50,000 goal,
right,
which they had eclipsed.
Well, yeah.
Would you like to know where, because again, this is a Kingdom Come is an iconic, I think for a lot of people, it's a seminal piece.
Yes.
Any guesses on where they are, where the money is raised, you know, the total as of today, 6 days to go?
I'm going to go 500,000.
You would actually be a little on the high side.
Okay, 450,000.
391,813.
Okay. That's, I mean, it's still amazing.
Over 1,800 backers. Dang. That's just silly. And the funny thing is, you know, I don't know exactly what percentage Kickstarter gets, but I'm sure they get a fair share of that.
I'm sure they get something. Yeah.
Yeah. You think 10%? 10% just to be the platform with which the fundraising can take place. Just to be the platform for this would be $39,000 if they were just getting 10%.
Yeah. I feel like 10% is too much, though.
Think so?
Yeah. I 5% or less they should get.
I'd have to ask one of my buddies and past guest, you know, multiple time guest, J. Peter Onitz, to see like what cut Kickstarter gets. But kudos to Outro. I am excited for whenever that DVD or Blu-ray arrives. I am excited to watch it. I'm excited to share it with you.
Yes.
And I keep getting updates of like super secret, like one of a kind prints for people who have backed it at a physical copy level. So I'm like, I'm gonna get some Alex Ross armor from this one. That'd be fun.
Yes.
So, well, I read some stuff, but it's over there.
Okay.
Well, it's over on the old desk.
Use your spider webs.
Whip.
Your web shooters.
Wait a minute. It's not over there. It is over there. It's underneath another book. So
well,
I'd bring the hardcover, or I'd thwip, but the hardcover book would come over and hit me in the head.
That's fair.
But it was, I have been reading the Brave and the Bold that we talked about here a couple weeks ago, and I'm enjoying that. But today I did manage, before I went and got the boys from daycare and school, I did manage a little jaunt over to Twilight Comics, Swansea, Illinois. They're having Cat-tober, and so celebrating cats, and they have some fun giveaways, and they have their annual candy corn, guess like the amount of candy corn in the jar contest. So I put a number in that, and Brian, who's the owner, he says, this is the range I'll tell you. it's a three-digit number, so it's, okay, it's less than 1,000. Okay. I said, from the looks of it, there's more than zero in there. He's like, I'll tell you this, and this is important for people who are in this area listening. It's more than 200 and less than 1,000. He's like, and that's all that I'm going to go.
I said, hey, that's good. That eliminates a lot of numbers.
That does. A solid fifth of them, realistically. Yeah. Yeah. So I said, could you just tell me the number and I'll just write a different number on the paper and just be like, I just want to know. He's like, he laughed. He's like, no. But when you win, you get a new release comic book issue, you know, every week for a year. And you also get the jar of candy corn.
That's a good deal.
So 52 comics, just for guessing, and candy corn.
Yeah.
And some people will be like, I'm going to toss the candy corn to keep the comics. And some people are like, I just want that candy corn.
And look, I'll take both.
Yeah. You know what? Candy corn is great, but you can only have like 5-6 pieces of it before you're like, I'm really tasting the sugar now.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. It will give you diabetes immediately.
Oh, that's what happened to Wilford Brimley. So
too much candy corn.
That's right. So, but I did get a few comics. I actually got some little golden books. Okay. They were doing a special buy two, get the third one free. So I got a Jurassic Park one. I got a Ninja Turtles one, and I got a Lego one. How to make a ghost, like a Lego ghost. Okay. So got that for those for the boys. I got the newest issue of Grimm.
Still going on. Okay.
From your friend of mine, Stephanie Phillips. Yep. Which means this is issue 20, and I promise you it's been going on for longer than 20 months. But at the same time, like, she started this before she started getting the DC and Marvel contracts. And then you saw what kind of got prioritized, yeah, and what kind of got put to the side.
Where the money goes, of course.
That's right. Follow the money. Again, so happy for her. You know, we could say we knew her way back when, and she has no time for us, going on the show. But got Space Ghost numero 6, which means
all I have to going for you.
All I have to do is read 3, 4, and 5.
Okay.
I'll get caught up before I purchase number 7. But like, look at the bottom. Like, that's Space Ghost on the bottom. He's having a rough go.
Not good for him.
The art is great. I just have to read more of the stories. I'm going to do this one first. I bought one trade paperback. Okay. And the reason is we'll address this, or I bought this to get a discount on the new issue that I bought. So this is an Image trade paperback. It collects issues 1 through 6. It's written by Jeff Johns, art by Gary Frank. Geiger. You familiar with Geiger?
I know what a Geiger counter is.
Yeah.
I think.
Meet Tariq Geiger, a survivor of the unknown war of 2030, when nuclear war ravaged the planet and tore his family away from him. It also made him a living nuclear reactor with a smoldering cauldron of radioactivity inside him. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Anyway, this is, you know, Jeff Johns was creative at DC for years and then broke away. And I'm trying to find out exactly. This is just earlier this year that Geiger first came out. That's a look at Geiger, the character. That looks pretty badass, if I'm not, you know, mistaken. But I bought this again. It caught my eye, and it was $9.99. So
good. Good price.
Which, when I tell you the story of why, look, Absolute Batman number 1 is out.
Yes.
You know, DC's Absolute all in, you know, whatever. So it's and apparently what some people are doing is they're buying it at, you know, book cover value, and then they're turning around flipping it on eBay.
Don't buy books on eBay, people.
Right. Go to your local brick and mortar. But yeah. But they could buy it for $4.99 at their comic shop and then turn around and sell it for $20 or $30.
Gosh.
Now, they had I say special, but in order to curb some of that activity, what they were doing at Twilight, I was like, you buy this for $4.99 if you have purchase totaling $19.99 or more, or it's going to cost you $14.99. It's like, if anybody's going to make a little extra profit off of it, it's going to be us. Okay. So I'm looking at that. I'm like, and I talked to Mark over there. I said, is this? He's like, it's pretty good. He's like, this is a first print. They've already sold out, you know, of first print. This was bagged and boarded. I don't even have to do that. That's rare. But, you know, I was talking about, like, again, Bruce Wayne is poor. Alfred is young. And he said, Bruce Wayne is poor because in canon, Thomas Wayne was a doctor. And in this world, which Mark likened it to the Marvel's Ultimate Universe, you know, so it's like the characters are all there. They're just a little different. But instead of being a doctor, Thomas Wayne was a teacher. I'm like, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Bruce Wayne doesn't have all of the accoutrement.
The things that make him Batman.
Right. I will have this read by the next time we do a show.
Okay.
That is good. My promise to you. That is my promise to the viewers. Actually, I'm really excited for everything I hauled in today. So I'm gonna try to spend a little bit more time this week doing some reading. So we're recording this on Friday night. Nebraska plays tomorrow. Kickoff's at 11. So I'll have some time after to do some reading and things like that. So, I'm excited for all that I've gotten. I'm looking forward to finding some time to read it. But Mike, you know what we haven't done yet, and we're 20 minutes in.
What's that? I didn't know you had a beer. Hold on. I'm going to go grab one. You just keep talking.
I'm going to keep talking.
Yeah. Youngling? Okay.
Youngling. Yep.
That's good.
Yeah. So, hi, everybody. Greg Mahochko here. Just killing time. They call this vamping in entertainment. I'm just not very good at it. So, I'm going to take this opportunity to, you know, just kind of put some things, get some the second half of the show ready. I've got some images, some graphics to share with you, and not anything like that. But you know, I just got some images to some slides, as the kids are calling it these days. So I just wish there was a way to upload all of them at once, but that is not how this system works. So I've got to upload them one at a time. Oh, there you go. A blue moon.
I was thinking, because I just had to run down to my fridge, but if I was gone for like 20 minutes and then I came back and I was like, no, I had to go to the gas station to get something.
I live in your town. If it takes you 20 minutes to get to the gas station, get some beer back, then.
That is true. Should take me about 5 minutes.
Right. But Mike, we do have 2 weeks worth of news.
Let's go through it.
Let us. I'm not entirely sure where to start, so we're going to start with this one that I'm pulling up right now. Doesn't that taste good?
Really does. Missing the orange slice, but that's all right.
Yingling don't need any of that.
That's true. I mean, this doesn't either. Just, you know.
Okay.
Make it fancy.
Mike, let me ask you a question. Have you heard of the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I have. I'm quite familiar with it, in fact.
So this graphic here, again, for the benefit of the people who are just listening to our audio version, we thank you as well. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, why am I talking like nobody knows, started in, look at that. It's got a mug and everything. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, no fancy.
2008 with Iron Man, and it blossomed from there. Captain America Thor came out in 2011.
11, I believe.
And then eventually we got Iron Man 2, and then we got Avengers and so on and so forth, all the way up to Endgame. And then everything else after that. But we'll talk, because we'll talk to, today about Agatha All Along.
Yes.
But it is happening, allegedly, rumored, potentially, that there is going to be a video game set in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes. I thought you were going to say more about it. It was rumored that it's nothing. I don't think anything is out there yet for it. I know that when James Gunn talked about his DC slate, which I think we'll talk about too, he mentioned video games are going to be a part of it as well. Like it's all going to interconnect. The cartoons or the animated, the movies and the video games all connects. So maybe they're trying to do something like that. It's a pretty, I don't mean just you, Greg. Perfect.
I like that.
it's a big take. I think I wonder if they're just going to focus solely on the, maybe the core Avengers. I wouldn't even focus on what's here. Like maybe the I want to say Ultimate Avengers, just the, who are Avengers, just the regular Avengers, the main ones. And then go from there. I don't know. I hope it's good. Maybe it's going to be something that makes me save up for a PS5 if it comes out then, you know. Right. Hopefully not when the PS6 comes out or something. But yeah, I mean.
So similar to James Gunn, you know, apparently in 2019 when Kevin Feige, this is from comicbookmovie.com, when Kevin Feige was promoted to chief creative officer of Marvel, that included all mediums, not just film and television, but gaming and publishing. Mm-hmm. And EA, or Electronic Arts, has a deal with Marvel Entertainment to produce 3 new video games, which will be an Iron Man game. I think I said the first of which is going to be Iron Man game.
Iron Man game. Okay. I kind of like that better. Like, see what you can do with an individual instead of a whole team.
Because I mean, if we were live and if Josh were here, he'd tell you that he and I used to play the heck out of team up Marvel and X-Men games back when, again, 20 years ago or almost 20 years ago when we lived together up in Nebraska. But it was obviously there's no MCU at the time, yeah. I think you would know because you've played the Spider-Man games recently. Mm-hmm. Great gameplay from my understanding.
Yes.
So if there's a way to incorporate the gameplay, and here's the thing, I don't think you, because I've played plenty of like movie tie-in video games, like up to and including the Green Lantern video game from the Green Lantern movie. That's the thing. Okay. I played it. I beat it. I'm not going to apologize. But I don't think they necessarily have to like stick to the Infinity Saga. You know, they could have other stories. Maybe there's a world, because I know people really want to see like a Hawkeye Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
You know, like the What Happened in Budapest, you know, that type of thing. They do that in a video game.
Yes, it should be something to where you don't have to play the video game to understand the movies, first of all. You know, it should,
right.
But it's a little bonus. You know, what they did in Budapest. How he became Ronin, what he had to do, you know. Stuff like that. Something where it's a side quest almost, kind of,
yeah.
You know.
Right. Yeah, tangential to the to the main story. So mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited about that. Mm-hmm. While we're talking Marvel, let's go ahead and talk about Agatha All Along.
Let's do.
You're caught up, and I'm caught up, and yeah. I'm kind of surprised at how that some of those witches be dropping like flies. Spoilers.
Here's what I'm surprised about. I'm surprised that I'm this invested in it because I think we both talked about it when it was not. When it was talked about, when it was like they said they were going to make it, we were both like, well, okay, it's I'll probably watch it. But, you know, we're that excited about it. It's way better than I thought. But now, granted, I had the bar very low as far as what my expectations were. So I was expecting like a 3 or a 2, and I'll give it like out of 10, and I'll give it a 6.5, 7. 6.5,
yeah,
probably. That's fair. You know? Is spoiler alert for anybody that is not caught up. The teen, surprise, surprise, is Billy Maximoff.
Wait, what? When did they say that? Just kidding. What?
Here's the thing with that, though. It's, first of all, everybody knew it. And there's only like a few things you could do in those situations. One is go with what, yes, yeah, be like, yes, he is. You guys guessed it right away. We didn't hide it that well. Of course, he's Billy Maximoff.
Yeah.
Two, kind of do what they tried to do, where it was like, oh, maybe he's Agatha's son. Like, but we kind of talked about that. It's like you said that, so you basically just said like, yeah, you probably are Agatha's son, right? Where it's like, well, obviously that's you're trying to misdirect us here. Yeah,
the red herring.
Or the third thing is go wild and have him be a character that nobody would have guessed. Like if you're, all of a sudden he's like, no, I'm actually Reed Richard. That's my real name. Or so, you know, or it's like, whoa, wow, okay. That's, I never caught that one. But they did what they had to do. So yeah, we have Billy Maximoff, aka I believe he's called Wiccan. And then we haven't had it yet. Maybe it's just a tease. Maybe they're doing the old WandaVision tease thing, but they have talked about how he wants to find his brother Tommy, and Tommy's out there somewhere.
See, I don't know if I, my interpretation was that, you know, through the, when the hex fell or, you know, whatever, that, you know, the, William.
Yes.
His body was, for lack of a better term, possessed.
Yes.
By Billy.
Yes.
But it didn't seem to me like Tommy followed through the multiverse. So
we don't know.
Right.
Because the only thing he says, I can feel Tommy. I know he's out there.
Sorry, I'm being mildly inappropriate.
It's a cry.
So again, I've been enjoying it, like you said, much more than I anticipated.
Yeah. Three episodes left.
It seems like I thought it'd be more. I thought they had like a mid-season preview or something like that. But I guess if you have nine, you can do that after the fifth episode. So I think we're fine. So yeah, three episodes left, and Wiccan's getting. I'm sorry, Billy's getting. He's finding his powers.
Yes.
He knows what's up.
Yes. I know. Is there another MCU show that's coming out this year? I'm almost thinking no. Well, especially this year, because I mean this is October now,
right?
And I think somebody we would have trailers for something.
Let's see here.
I know, like Daredevil: Born Again comes out in 2025, and man, I'm looking forward to that. So much.
I don't believe so.
No, that's why I didn't think so.
Yeah. Which one did you say coming out?
Daredevil, Born Again.
Right. Also, Captain America. The new, not New
Brave World. Brave New World.
Brave New World, thank you.
Yeah.
Thunderbolts is also planned for next. And allegedly, Ironheart. So.
Okay, we'll see.
Good job to Agatha all along for holding our interest this far along. Now, Mike, 2 weeks ago, this is genre. It's important. It's part of nerd news, but it's not one of the big two. But we talked about the Voltron movie.
Oh yeah,
we talked about the casting of Daniel Quinn,
The 5 year old kid.
Oh yeah, yep. As one of the characters in the Voltron. We're like, okay, well, cool, they're making a Voltron movie, but like nobody's heard of this kid, but. Last week, this project received an instant boost of bona fides. And do you know who's providing that hot injection?
My dad, Henry Cavill.
That's right. I didn't know you. Yeah, Variety reported that Cavill is set to star in the Voltron film for Amazon MGM Studios. Let's see, Rawson Marshall Thurber directing the movie from a script he wrote with Ellen Shanman. Thurber most recently wrote and directed Netflix's 2021 action flick, which was Red Notice, that starred Gal Gadot, Ryan Reynolds, and Dwayne Johnson. By the way, I just rewatched Red Notice within the last few weeks. I'm like, yeah, it's still a lot of fun movie, you know? So, only two people so far have been cast. Cavill and Quinn Toye, but this almost has to be, because it's been so long since Voltron was out and mainstream, like this kind of has to be a bit of a origin story, right?
Yeah.
Here's what I think.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I think that it would be great if Voltron, or I'm sorry, if Henry Cavill played Emperor Zarkon, aka the villain.
That would be fine with me.
It's a little, you know, offbeat, I suppose, for him. Like, it's not his usual. Obviously, he's, look at him. He's got hero written all over his face. But I think it'd be a nice twist to, you know, see him as, again, he's probably going to be the most established and well-known actor in the cast. Let him be the big bad.
I think that'd be great. I think he would like it too. I think so. He can play a villain for sure. Well, I mean, he has. He played a villain in Mission Impossible, whatever that one was.
That was a twist, though. We didn't know he was a villain until the very end.
But he still was, though.
Yes, he was. Yes. But also, I think, you know, against type. That's what I was trying to say.
Yes, yes.
But what I like about Henry Cavill is, you know, from this, Witcher, man, you know, the DC stuff is Superman, Cavraline, Warhammer 40,000. I mean, this dude is hell-bent on just wanting to participate in fun projects, it seems.
I agree,
you know, yeah. A little nerdy. Henry, if you're watching this and you want to come on and tell your story and why you're such a nerd, anytime.
Yeah.
We'll do this. We're doing the show. It's 10:30 right now, at PM. If we need, we'll move heaven and earth to accommodate your schedule to sit down and record with us. So, just love to hear more about you. That's my pitch. Anyway, so congratulations, Henry, and can't wait to get more Voltron news as we go. So
I'm gonna figure out how to clip this and put that out there.
Do you?
No clue how to do any kind of editing, though. So, but I have a laptop that might be able to do it.
So I found there's actually a way to clip. Well, we'll talk about that. That's more off-air conversation. I kept reading, like, why the hell? Oh, the condensation from the beer can was sticking to the coaster. So now what I'm going to do is I have put my Nebraska can coolie on and should avoid these problems in the future.
There you go. Nice coolie, too.
Thank you. While we're talking about casting news, let us move to DC, where I think we're going to spend quite a bit of time here. And I'm so happy. We received word last week of the casting. They are really working on shoring up some of the faces that we will see in Lanterns on Max. And we knew that it was Kyle Chandler was going to play Hal Jordan,
yeah.
But in our week off, it was revealed that I'm going to say Pierre, I might be wrong, but he is going to portray John Stewart.
They might actually be making this thing. Can you imagine? Can you believe that?
I think that's perfect casting.
I agree. I love the casting. I love the casting for both of them, honestly. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you why I'm very excited for Aaron, because if you look at the version, like, there's an entire generation that has no idea who Hal Jordan is because they grew up on like Justice League, League Unlimited, and John Stewart, as we see pictured here, was their Green Lantern. That's not an original thought. I have very few of those. That's a Kevin Smith thought. He's like, I don't know why they're making, you know, in 2011 when Ryan Reynolds made, you know, Green Lantern, he's like, I don't know why they're doing Hal Jordan. No, you know, nothing against Hal, but everybody knows as, you know, John Stewart. Anyway. I'm gonna say this, and if you just look at the eyes, because the way that animators, artists did John Stewart in this series, you can see very, you know, the pupils and everything went green, and Aaron's just got very bright eyes.
Yes.
And I was like, when I saw him, like, yeah, that makes total sense. I'm sure he's a great actor. I think he's been in something on Netflix. I haven't found it. But just chef's kiss on the casting, because it's a really phenomenal pairing of these two. I'm very excited for Lanterns for when it arrives. According to this Facebook post, coming soon. So 2027.
I don't know, man. I'm hoping for 2025, but
that would be great. But I just feel like, again, they only have two members of the cast, and
Oh, hold on. They've announced two members of the cast. They probably have a lot more members of the cast.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
But yeah, if they've only started announcing some cast members, then you're thinking it's maybe going to be 2025 when it's filmed.
Yeah.
And then you got to do special effects.
I'll say, and something like this, I feel like it's going to be time consuming on the VFX.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, yeah, we might actually get we might get a Green Lantern series. I'm not going to say a good one, but so far I might. So far, so good.
When you watch it, you're going to be like, this is so much better than Titans.
Probably. I mean, I could see that happening. Here's the thing. I don't know what to expect from James Gunn, but I love James Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, speaking of James Gunn, I don't know if he spoke prematurely or... You know, but allegedly, you know, we were given all of these projects that he's going to be working on, from print to animation to movies, this DCU slate. But James Gunn says that, yeah, that slate remains in development, but some of those projects not likely to or may not come to fruition. For example, we were promised Superman, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, The Authority, The Brave and the Bold, Swamp Thing, for the big screen. And then for the small screen, we know we're getting Creature Commandos, Lanterns, we just got an update on that, obviously, Waller, Paradise Lost, and Booster Gold. But, let's see, James Gunn said to Threads, just to clarify, I said everything we originally announced was still in development, not that it's still coming. That all depends on the scripts. We've never put a half-assed script in production because it was announced, so...
Okay. First of all, I was going to say, I like James Gunn except for what he did there. Okay. He's trying to say that, like, oh, no.
It's like backpedaling, would you say?
Yeah, we didn't say all these were coming out. No, you did. You said, hey, here is the DC slate. Here is what we have coming out. And you named them. You never said, these are the ones that we're thinking about. We want to do something that's, you know, we would love to do a Supergirl, a Woman of, and it's inspired by Woman of Tomorrow. We'd love to do a Swamp Thing. That's kind of what we're going for. In fact, it was, here's what we have so far, and there might be more coming out. You know, this was just the first part. You know, this is, you know, part one, Gods and Monsters. I totally understand him being like, look, if we don't have a, we're not going to put something out just because we said, we're going to put something out. If the script's not good, don't put it out. I agree with you there. But then, I don't know, have at least outlines for stuff, you know? And maybe they did, and then the people that were creating, they were like, oh, no, that's not going to work. And then the creative differences, I don't know. But no, to pretend like he didn't say that these were coming out, that's just wrong. He heavily, heavily implied that everything he said is coming out.
And I won't, you know, it's not my place to argue with James Gunn. Comicbookmovie.com again is where we're getting this information. We did have the Screenwriters and Screen Actors Guild strike last year that slow some things down. But Superman's in post-production, Supergirl's gearing up to begin shooting, and Lanterns, as we know, is again assembling its cast. We also know that Creature Commandos is done. It's in the can. It's ready to go. But there's been adjustments to the slate because we're getting a second season of Peacemaker. There have been rumors of animated Blue Beetle and Robin projects, along with movies for the Teen Titans, Bane, and Deathstroke. So it's like we're reshuffling the deck, it seems, you know?
Yeah, my thing, like, learn from what Marvel did and their mistakes they made, which is don't put so much stuff out.
Yeah.
You know? So if do this stuff first, you know, and then worry about Bane and, you know, Blue Beetle and all that other stuff.
have a hit or two, you know? Find some success, find your footing, and then start building your universe.
Yeah.
So nobody...
If the Superman, I guess it used to be called Superman Legacy. I think it's just called Superman now. That comes out, and if that's a hit, that's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it will be. I James can pull it off. And then go from there. So yeah.
I don't think anybody expected what came out of Iron Man you know, the explosion.
Yes.
You know, but again, at the same time, nobody could expect it because everything was being done by different studios.
Yes.
You know, Paramount and, you know, all of them. So, you know, they had to kind of get everybody back under the Marvel Studios umbrella, mm-hmm. you know, run by Disney. So, but anyway, I think they need to find their footing before they start reaching for the stars. So,
yeah.
But you mentioned Supes. So let's go talk about our Boy Scout. Did you see the image this week? That beautiful image of Superman and Crypto.
Yeah.
So this is taken right off the cover of All-Star Superman. And, you know, so obviously we know we're going to get Crypto, the Superdog, in the movie. But there's been a lot of criticism online. I don't know if you know if the internet is a place where people apparently have opinions and feel the need to share them all the time.
Shame.
But they said something like, why is the Superman always sitting down?
Hey,
like there's this, and then the other one is him like putting on the boot as there's like an alien ship over Metropolis or something like that. Like,
yeah,
he sure is taking a sweet time, but All-Star Superman is such a unique mm-hmm. piece, you yes. know. So I'm really intrigued by how they're going to modify or adapt the original work to accommodate the theater, because you can't tell All-Star Superman in the, let's say, 2 hours, you know, runtime. I just don't think that's as feasible. But I'll say this. This image is just beautiful to see. Like, yes. it's just a gorgeous picture. We're not getting a whole lot, but, you know, it's clear. It's obviously digital. It's just, it's fun to look at.
So I 100% agree with you. So we're not going to get All-Star Superman, the comic book.
No.
We're not even going to get an adaptation of it.
We're going to get pieces.
I don't even know that. I think we are going to get the Superman from All-Star Superman. Hmm. That, you know, I figured it out from this image. Just not even from this image. Just having Crypto in your movie. That's the fun loving, full of hope, you know, yeah. the Superman you want, the all American Superman. There's, you know, he's there to help everybody, you right. know. That's the Superman you're gonna, I don't know what the story's gonna be,
yeah.
but that's the Superman you're gonna get.
That you know what, I love that explanation. I hadn't really thought about that, so thank you, Mike, for putting me in my place.
I don't know if that's putting you in your place, but okay, so
<God. laughs> All right, well, we're getting about that time where it breaks my heart, but we're going to have some bad news here, Mike.
Okay.
This movie, for the first one that did $1 billion at the box office on a low budget, this yeah. one here limped. It's so poorly received that a movie that just hit theaters, I think, 2 weeks ago, the weekend of October 4th, 5th, and 6th is going to be available at home for whether it's the Fandango at home or, you know, Amazon Prime, you know, sneak purchase, whatever it is. Joker, I'm not even going to try to pronounce. It's going to be out in 2 weeks. For on digital, access less than a month. It's going to be officially October 29th is when the movie is going to be available to watch at home. And here you go again, the benefit of those watching. You know, we have Joker and their version of Harley Quinn, aka Lady Gaga.
Don't even call her Harley Quinn either. They call her Lee Quinzel.
Well, that seems silly.
Yes.
What's the point?
Exactly.
Now, this movie's been out for 2 weeks. I kind of want to spoil it because I read an article.
Yeah, go ahead.
That kind of spoiled it. But in this movie, you know, Arthur is having, you know, he's in court. He's, you know, I guess slipping in and out of lucidity. Yeah. And then at the end of the movie, he gets shivved, spoiler, you know, in prison. And the guy who does it, drawing inspiration from, you know, the I guess because I read the spoiler a week ago or whatever, so I apologize if I'm less sure about the details, but basically, like, in court, he admitted his wrongdoing. He's like, yeah, I'm a monster, and I need to be, you know, locked up. Another inmate stabs him, kills him. You know, I don't know if YouTube's going to have issues with any of this, but then gives himself the scars like Heath Ledger's Joker, you know, and then I guess escapes or something like that. So while we all thought that and that pissed people off to know him because they, you know, I guess this whole movie, which, you know, obviously has musical elements, which you would expect as soon as you heard Lady Gaga was going to be in it. But people are pissed at Todd Phillips about this movie.
So a couple things. One, just stop doing the. Are you watching something?
No, I was pulling up Todd Phillips.
Oh, I just heard music. I was like, just watch the video.
No, I didn't hear any music.
I'll hear something. I don't know what it is.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. Stop doing the thing where, oh, it's the Joker. And no, actually, it's just the person that inspired the Joker. Mm-hmm. Stop doing it. It's dumb. Look, if you can't do Joker, don't do Joker.
Right.
There's 1,000 Batman villains. Probably not 1,000, but probably at least 100 Batman villains that you could do, or 50. I hate when they do that. And they did that in Gotham as well. You know, this person, this person, with the big smile and who goes, that's not the Joker. No, that's stupid. Stop doing that. Yeah. Second, I think I called this long time ago when this movie was first, coming out and we heard it was a musical. No one's going to look this up, but I'm going to say it. I called it. And I said, this is going to be an absolute flop because nobody likes musicals and they're horrible.
Well, it's not that nobody likes musicals. I just don't think anybody wants a Joker musical, you know, unless it's like full campy, self-aware, I guess. You know what I mean?
No. Musicals are bad. Everybody knows it. So. Yeah, sorry, Todd Phillips. I mean, look, I'm sure he tried. I'm sure he thought it was going to be great, but no. And again, first of all, I never saw Joker, and I'm not going to watch Joker. Fully, do you?
Right.
And I'm less likely to watch.
I did. Now.
I know you saw Joker. A lot of people. Look, like you said, it made like $50 billion or something.
It cleared like. A billion. I'm pulling up some box office numbers right now. So for Joker 2, we'll say, had an estimated budget of $300 million.
Okay.
Times two. Right? Because, figured
marketing. Yeah.
It's worldwide gross to date.
Okay.
167,662,948.
What was the budget on Joker?
That's what I'm pulling up next.
Okay.
Because I feel like it was, honest to God, a fraction.
Yes.
Like, I feel like they made a Joker movie for $50 million.
Yes.
Or less.
Yeah.
Let's see here. 55 million. Estimated budget, 55 million. Take that times two.
Yep.
And it grossed worldwide over $1 billion.
So, I mean, look, at least they made money between the two of them.
Yeah.
You know, but wow. Yeah.
And I said it.
Like I said, nobody likes musicals. Greg agrees with me.
There's a siren outside of your house.
Yes. Yes, there is. They also agree with me. They don't like musicals either.
They're coming over to pull over anybody who's watching the musical. At this point, I think if they're... Warner, DC, they cannot do it from a financial standpoint. But if you're going to put the atrocity that is Joker Jato Fule, whatever, on the streaming service, and we all know eventually it's going to end up on Max, then do the right thing and give us Batgirl.
I agree. I 100% agree. Because you put that on Facebook, and I was like, yes, give us Batgirl. And of course, they're never going to do that.
No, because it's going to cost them way too much money.
But man, I would 100% rather have Batgirl. And I haven't even seen, I've seen still images from Batgirl. I don't even, there's not a trailer. They never put a trailer out. Mm-hmm. That one's going to be, that would be better.
Yeah.
You know why it would be better? It's not a musical. Yes.
You don't know that. They could have Brendan Fraser as Firefly, like, you know, kick line and be like, oh, I love burning shit. Da, 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 da.
He flies in the air and you can very clearly see the strings off of him, you know. It's all stage musical.
Oh, that'd be, you know, that's where it gets fun, right? Like, you know, if it's something that is self-aware and able to make fun of itself. And I don't know if like Joker took itself too seriously, but man, they messed that up somewhere.
Yeah. I heard the music was even bad, honestly.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to comment on that because I'm not a huge fan of Lady Gaga's music.
But she's a singer, so she should. Maybe she knows how to sing, but maybe she didn't put the music together herself.
Maybe she didn't write the lyrics.
Yeah.
So, which is funny because she put out an album like in conjunction with the movie. And that's supposed to be like songs inspired by, you know, or however it was. So I was like, the Little Monsters or whatever her fan group is called. They're probably like, not the best career choice there. Whatever her real name is. I can't call her Lady Gaga. So Todd Phillips, you know, he gave us both Joker movies. He also gave us the Hangover movies.
Yes.
And if you go all the way back, he gave us Road Trip.
Okay. Did not know that, but okay.
Yeah. Let's see, Due Date, Old School. Okay. Did you ever see Due Date with
Zach Galifianakis and
Robert Downey Jr.?
Yep.
Tony Stark himself. Starsky and Hutch. I mean, he's got a good track record, but these last two are, well, especially this last one, Turd in a Punch Bowl.
Yeah.
So, see if there's any other ones.
What else we got?
Not much, honestly. I mean, I could talk about Spider-Man. Oh, yeah, we probably should talk about this. Tom Holland, first of all, I don't know if you saw this, but he knew that Robert Downey Jr. is coming back as Dr. Doom and kept the secret.
I don't believe that. That boy spoils everything. There's no way he knew. He knew that day. And then they kept him, and then they locked him in a room.
Right. But because he's one of the more tenured MCU actors now, he gets access to things that maybe, you know, other, you know, Oscar Isaacs's and whatnot maybe aren't privy to. And that was the first draft of Spider-Man 4.
Yes. Yeah. I would assume for the first draft of Spider-Man 4, they would probably give it to Tom Holland first rather than Oscar Isaac. I feel that would be strange to give it to him. You know,
I mean, you know, I was just trying to find other,
They had Tom Holland look at this draft for Spider-Man 4 rather than give it to Chris Evans. It's weird.
Actually, I'd probably give it to Chris Evans too.
I would also give it to him.
You know, I mean, like the young lady who plays Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, like, she probably is not getting first drafts of scripts and things like that.
That's true. Yes.
But he got to see the initial script, the initial draft of the script. And he was doing an interview with Rich Roll. I don't know anything about that, but he told Rich that the one draft made its way to him and the details got his blood pumping. He said it caused celebration for he and Zendaya. Of course, they are in a relationship. I don't know if Zendaya will be back, but Holland says, it needs work, but the writer's doing a great job. I read it 3 weeks ago, and it really lit a fire in me. Zendaya and I sat down, read it together, and we at times were bouncing around the living room. So a little positive update there. I've enjoyed his take on the character. I think I still don't know if that's my favorite Spider-Man, like, you know, cinematic Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But I know that the uniform, the costume that we see him in, for example, Civil War.
Yeah.
That is, you know, my favorite because it's not too tech, but it has the ability with the eyes to be able to emote a little bit more like he could in cartoons and things like that. So, for that reason,
out of the three Spider-Man, it's the only one that looks like he's close to being in high school.
That too, you know, and I think he was 22 when he got the job. But again, he looked like he was a freshman, sophomore in high school. So.
Yeah.
I had more chest hair when I was, you know, in a freshman than he had probably now. Anyway, definitely have more chest hair now than he does. So
yes, that is true.
Can't say the same about Henry Cavill.
True.
Seen that man without a shirt. And let me tell you, there's a jungle.
There is.
Where I'm going with this. This is getting out of hand.
I was waiting for something.
Mike, anything? My computer just did a weird thing, so I apologize. Mike, anything else we have tonight? No,
I think that's it. I think tonight. We covered a lot. I know possibly next week we might have a pick five.
Yes, for Halloween costumes, mm-hmm. which is timely. And because I did, I texted my mom, or maybe I called her, I don't know. But I said, hey, do you have any old pictures of me from like Halloween's growing up in various costumes? She's like, if there are any that exist, we would have given them to you a long time ago. So I don't know if it, I mean, I showed the old desk over there. So I'm in my new desk. And I finally got that finished last week. It's the first time doing Nerds United from this desk, but I still have to go through all the drawers for the old desk. They're over there. I've only stubbed my toe, walked in them like 3-4 times. But if there are any pictures, I'm going to try to find some time this weekend to go through those. If there are any pictures, I'll make sure I get those uploaded so that we can, because I know you were kind enough to send us some little Mikey Halloween costumes, and we'll see if there are any little Greggy Halloween costumes, and we'll throw in some of those store-bought shenanigans from nowadays, and we'll have some fun with it.
Sounds good.
Mike, before we go, I just want to say I had a great time tonight, obviously chatting with you, but even before that, I got a projector on Prime Day.
Yes.
So this is, you know, LCD video projector. It's in the desk, so I'm not like, I just figured I'd show the manual. It should be enough. But I took it outside tonight, used it for the first time ever, put up against the siding of the house in the back deck, and the boys and I went out there and watched Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin. It was a little chilly, you know, it was in 55, 60 degree range. Everybody was in long pants, hoodies, and whatnot. We had a really good time. And I was like, there's a Nebraska night game. I'm going to have to do this again. I just hooked it up to my computer. Yeah. It's supposed to be able to do like screen mirroring and stuff like from my phone, but that was not 100% cooperative. But it came with a USB, or I'm sorry, not an HDMI cable. So, we had a great time, you know. And because Great Pumpkin's only half hour long, we got out, we got in, we had some fun, and Garrett's like, Dad, can we do s'mores? I'm like, we don't have anything for s'mores. He's like, well, we have chocolate bar. I'm like, okay, but we don't have grams, we don't have aloes, we just have chocolate bar. So all that being said, I think I want a chocolate bar now. So
fair, yeah.
But it was a great time spent hanging outside with my boys, and looking forward to doing that again. So
perfect.
We'll have to get you over for an evening.
Definitely.
Evening under the stars with Greg and Mike.
Yes.
So, all right, everybody, that'll do it for this episode of Nerds United. We thank you so much for joining us, and we can't wait to see you again. Hopefully next week we go live again. I don't see why not. But until then, for my good friend and co-host of the year, Mike Luther, I'm Greg Mahochko. This is Nerds United, a Jerry Monkey podcast. And we remind you each and every week, Mike, to be kind. Mike?
Oh, I didn't realize I had pressed the mute button. And rewind.
How many times did you say rewind before?
I only said it once, and then I did my freeze frame pause, and I was like, he's not cutting. How long do we have to hold this for?
Good night, everybody.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.